Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I guess today, Eric Bandles. Correct me if I'm saying that wrong, Eric. But yeah, just Eric, tell us where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Beard Brand.
Yeah, Beard Brand is my company. It's a men's grooming company that is on a mission to help men loving the man, looking back at them in the mirror. And we do that through, of course, incredible products that are made not just for the beard, but also your face, your body, hair, but also through content that we produce. We produce content on our YouTube channel with over a couple million subscribers. We've got a blog with thousands of articles, and of course, social media and paid mediums as well. So we bootstrapped that company. We've been in business for over 10 years now.
Awesome.
And just trying to build it the way that we want to build it, that gives us the kind of life that we want to live.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And can you tell me a little bit about your background leading up to, you know, wanting to create a brand like this? I mean, obviously, you know, it's definitely, I can tell it's mission-based, kind of like men's mental health surrounding. I can tell from the website, just the way you talk about it. So what kind of led you to wanting to create this brand almost 10 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, so I used to work at a mega bank as a financial advisor, and really hated that environment. You know, this expectation to look and act a certain way was really not something I felt comfortable with. So I quit working there. I grew my beard out and continued, you know, trying to start up some other businesses at the time. But people would call me like ZZ Top and Grizzly Adams, Duck Dynasty. And those are all cool dudes. But these hands were made for keyboards. They weren't made for axes. And I realized there was a community of guys that didn't really fit the traditional stereotype of what a bearded guy was. And what I wanted to do is unite those men and give them the tools they needed to feel confident about growing and caring for their beard. So that was the ideation behind Beard Brand, was really to target these urban beardsmen and really shift perceptions of facial hair. We started in, you know, like 2012, I guess. I started growing my beard, my big beard, in like 2011. And at that time, especially where I live, there wasn't much social tolerance for facial hair in, you know, like corporate environments or in legal environments or sales. And now, you know, 12 years later, I would say we won. You know, like there's no concern or question whether or not a man can grow facial hair in pretty much any, you know, any industry, with the exception of maybe like firefighter, where you need to have a mask for good seal. So, or military in certain cases like that. But yeah. So we've won, and we're continuing our fight to really help men. And I do think like right now it's an interesting time because, you know, men seem to be target number one. I want to say enemy number one, because men are very valuable to society. But, you know, to really have a voice for men and understand what they're doing. A men's brand serving men. I think there's a lot of brands out there that maybe aren't run by men that are targeting them with similar products. So it's nice to be able to kind of like shape the narrative of what it means to be a man in today's environment and how you can care for yourself.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I guess like, you know, almost 10 years ago, I mean, did you start with the kind of YouTube series first and like doing that kind of advocacy first, and then the product kind of came after? Or were you more like product focused and kind of did the social media and that kind of part of the messaging in tandem with it at the same time? Just curious.
Yeah, so I started Beard Brand in 2012 as a Tumblr blog and a YouTube channel, and we produced and our own blog. So we produced content for about a year, and then we launched our first product. We started selling products in 2013. I say that, but the following really wasn't that big in that first year. Maybe we had 300 subscribers on YouTube or something like that. So it was a real small community. It's always, in my mind, it's always been a, you know, mission first type of organization, but our organic content and our company growth has really been kind of parallel.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I guess I'm curious, with a brand like this, I mean, what kind of channels did you go after once the brand itself with the actual product started catching some traction? I mean, do you sell into like grocery stores and things like that? Do you sell mostly direct online? I mean, where have you seen the most traction with the sales?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long journey. So depending on the year, it kind of affects that answer. In the early days, we actually leveraged a lot of PR to try to get our word out that way. Or I do a lot of podcasts. I was pretty public with how I was building it. I would share updates on Reddit Entrepreneur subreddit, and just kind of really had like an organic, primarily organic growth to the company in that first year. We're bootstrapped, so we didn't have a lot of capital to invest in things. And we also didn't really know what our product offering was going to be. So we tested various products in that first year as we tried to figure out really what our customers were looking for. As we continue to grow, you know, organic has always been like our bread and butter and where we started from. We have sprinkled in, you know, paid through Google and Facebook over the years. And we've also had primarily direct to consumer as our number one sales channel. We've gotten back into Amazon as of about a year ago. And we were in Target for about 3 or 4 years, but we're no longer selling in that. We also work with a number of smaller boutique barbershops and pharmacies around the, I guess, around the world, but it's not a major source of our revenue.
Right. No, that's awesome. And as far as like the D2C channel goes, I mean, you know, it's obviously selling D2C is obviously great because, you know, you get all the direct interaction, customer feedback, you know, really have like a conversation with your customer that way. What do you find is like, I guess when you like the impetus of the brand, like, who did you think your ideal customer was at that time? And like, as it's grown and like developed into, I'm sure like reach probably a broader audience than where you started. I mean, where do you find like your most frequent customer now versus like what you know, thought your ideal customer was at the start, if they're different?
Yeah. I mean, so, well, Beard Brand started, I would say like I'm customer number one. So it's really building a brand that serves my wants and needs. Not exclusively, but primarily, like, so I get inspiration for products that I need or tools that I use and how I want to, you know, utilize my grooming routine and what kind of thing that I like in life. And then hopefully, you know, find other like-minded people who, you know, see the same value in what we're producing. And that kind of is true to this day. You know, it was never like, hey, let's build a market for XYZ because they've got the most money or they're not being tapped or whatever. It's just like, I just want to build something cool for me and then hope there's other people out there and understand that, you know, there's going to be limitations to that. There's only so many people who think like me and see the world like me and prefer products like me. So I'm also okay with it growing to a point that maybe isn't, you know, a unicorn or $100 million brand or, you know, is on every single shelf everywhere serving everyone. That's okay to me. As long as the business allows me to create the life that I'm looking for.
Yeah, I respect that. And, you know, I feel like for the sake of longevity, I mean, I think that's the kind of thinking behind brands that people end up sticking with for a really long time. I think, you know, sometimes if you're only thinking about, you know, the marketing message and like kind of like filling in like pieces of puzzles, like for revenue sake and things like that. I feel like those kinds of attitudes towards, you know, running a business that came out of passion and is mission based like yours is, I feel like can be very fleeting. So I can really respect that as a, you know, as a business owner, you know, having that perspective is just like, you know, doing it the way that you know you like and what you know that like-minded people in your community of buyers and people that follow you on social media also like. Yeah, I quite like that. That's awesome. And do you find that social media is one of your biggest drivers to, you know, people eventually like, you know, buying from you? I mean, I would assume that would be the case, but where do you find the most traction as far as like, you know, revenue generating things and like anything you do with marketing and your paid advertising? Just curious.
Yeah, I mean, obviously social media is the behemoth in the room. If you consider YouTube as social media, you know, that's historically been our top organic channel with a couple. We have two channels, one with 2 million subscribers, another with 200,000 subscribers.
That's awesome.
So we produce a lot of content in there. We're an education first type of an organization. So we try to give value before we ask for value. It's been challenging these past, you know, 18, 24 months or so as, you know, the environment changes with the various algorithms in the marketplace. And as, you know, YouTube tries to compete with TikTok, they push shorts. So that kind of forces us to produce content in a different way. And so we are always constantly evaluating, like, what are the best techniques and how do we produce content or ads in the way that is most beneficial to the sustainability of the company, something that we can enjoy doing and is fruitful and profitable. And so it is like, you know, a lot of lessons learned and two steps forward, one step back, or sometimes as the past couple of years has been as two steps back and one step forward. So nothing's really easy, but yeah, Meta has been something we're leaning on lately. And then also Amazon is something that we're exploring to see if we can get some traction on that platform.
Yeah, that's great. And I guess I'm curious a little bit more about, you know, what you're doing with the social media channel, and what is like a typical type of content that you talk about? I mean, can you give me an example of something you posted recently, so from like an education standpoint, for like, you know, maybe any young men listening to even this podcast, what can they come to expect and types of things that you know like to talk about on your social media channels, and what would like the kind of education that way?
Yeah, so our big channel, we have a barbershop right across the alley.
Oh, cool.
And we'll film guys getting a haircut and, you know, provide education on like how to, you know, understand what the haircut is, how to describe that to your barber. And then the barber will give like advice and techniques on how they're cutting it so that the consumer can become better educated to getting a good haircut that's going to help them look their best.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to get a wide variety of clients in there so that, you know, depending on, you know, really like you're not going to have interest in some dude with like long flowing blonde hair and like a complete shave. So it's like,
right,
by having a lot of variety, we're able to provide a lot of resources to a diverse audience of people and helping them really find their style. And then there's a lot of hairstyles that you can rock or wear. So being able to document what the various hairstyles and beard styles are for people. Our smaller channel is kind of more of the talking head traditional beauty style. Our most recent content, we have a content creator, Greg Brzezinski. He talked about Post Malone's beard and how it seems like it's filled in over the past, you know, like 10 years since he's been public. And then like, is he using, you know, beard transplants or, you know, what kind of regimen would he be on to get his beard to fill in and kind mm-hmm. of like give advice from that perspective. So that's just one example, but we'll do like styling tutorials, like how to use a hair dryer, how to use a blow dryer, how to trim your beard at home, how to trim your neckline, what to do with like an itchy beard, how to get through like the awkward stages of growing your hair out. All these stories or guides on how to elevate and improve your grooming routines.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I mean, I feel like it is something that's kind of missing in like just general sentiment for men. I mean, you know, guys don't talk about like, you know, doing their hair really growing up. I mean, everything's got, it's kind of like exclusive to the barbershop. It's conceived sometimes. And even me, like, you know, I'm very flexible with my hairstyles. I've had hair down to my shoulders. I've shaved my head bald. I mean, I'm definitely open to like new ideas, but yeah, it is interesting though, because you know, you think about those like kind of in between stages of trying to do something new, and like you don't even know who to ask. Like I usually go to like, you know, my girlfriends who work in salons for advice, and you know, it's just I don't know. There's just something about like a community of men like to talk, having these conversations, and it's very unique, and I think it's definitely something that was needed as like a conversation, a community out there. So yeah, I really appreciate what you're doing, and so I guess one other thing I just always love to ask everybody that comes on the podcast, obviously, especially someone like you who's obviously had success and, you know, it's been 10 plus years now. If you go back to, you know, creating it, you know, your experience creating a YouTube channel and you're creating a brand, a for-profit brand, if you go back and give yourself one piece of advice, business, personal, whatever it might be, if you can go back to that time 10 years ago, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
Yeah, I mean, really comes down to hiring. I think mm-hmm. we made a lot of mistakes in the early days on our hiring practices.
Mm-hmm.
We learned to implement a program called Top Grading, which is really a multi-step process that involves letting the candidate know you're going to be asking for references and then interviewing them around how those references are going to, you know, answer these questions, and then calling up the references and verifying, you know, what the candidate is saying. So that's a really good process to, you're never going to get hiring 100%, but mm-hmm. it's going to lift it from, you know, a 50-50 kind of thing to, you know, like a maybe a 90%. So you feel pretty confident that the people that you're going to be bringing in. And now like the mistakes that I make around hiring are whenever I'm like breaking that that process,
right?
You know, kind of making exceptions for it. So I would say look into that, you know, if you're at that stage where you need to bring on people. But besides that, you know, it's you have to constantly, I don't feel like I would need to tell myself this because it's been something that we've been good at implementing throughout the 10 years is, but you always have to evaluate why you're building the business and what is the purpose for that, because it's easy to get pulled down certain directions that do not align with the purpose of building a business. You know, if your purpose is to get like mega rich and filthy rich and stuff like that, your decisions are going to be completely different than trying to build a lifestyle business that you're going to pass on to your kids.
Right.
So when building, we want to build a lifestyle business that we enjoy. So how do we build a business that I can work at for another 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, even if I am financially independent, but because I love the business, I love the people I work with, I love my customers. A lot of people end up hating their business, and I can't imagine anything worse than hating your business and literally being tied to it because of the fact you're an owner, and it's hard to shed a business. It's hard to walk away from a business. So, you know, making decisions with intention knowing that there are trade-offs for things, but those trade-offs are unavoidable, let's be real, and a requirement for you to always evaluate if you're doing things the right way or not.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that answer. And it's actually quite a unique answer. It's funny. A lot of times when I ask that question, people are always joking, but a lot of times the answer to that question I'll get is like, just don't do it. Like, don't quit your job. Which, like, obviously people always follow up with like, no, of course I'm kidding. Like, I would never do anything different in the world. But you know, I think people do kind of have that perspective of, you know, that's why I love doing the podcast the way that we do. And just like having like an opportunity for, you know, other business owners and growing brands to kind of share their experiences. Cause I hear so many common denominators between the founders that I interview. It's a lot of shared experiences and everybody feels like they're the only one going through it sometimes, but it's definitely, definitely not true. I mean, even people who have been in business 20 years and are having success seem to have the same kind of, whether it's like a little bit of imposter syndrome or, you know, maybe just like stretched too thin with capital. I mean, it's just a common experience at every stage of business. So yeah, man, I really appreciate your insights, Eric. I love what you're doing. I think it is kind of an underserved community these days, especially as just a general like conversational educational community. So I really appreciate what you're doing. I love it. And yeah, just want to give you an opportunity too for anybody listening, might be interested in partnering with you on a maybe like business capacity, but or maybe just interested in checking out your products. Just want to give you an opportunity to shout out the brand and any of your socials or anything. Let people know how to stay in touch with you guys.
Yeah, head over to beardbrand.com, beard like your facial hair, and buy some products, because then you'll see what our welcome flow is like, as well as how we deliver products and the small touches that we do and to include in the order. Our products don't know your gender, so if you happen to be a woman listening, a lot of women love our sea salt spray. Our balm and our oil is great. It's usually going to be more cost effective alternatives to the, what do they call that? The beauty
the pink tax.
The pink tax that women pay. So you can, you know, come to us for, you know, same or higher quality products at a more economical price. And then me personally, if you kind of align with my mindset in the world, follow me on X. It's my last name, Bandholz, B as in boy, A-N-D-H-O-L-Z.
Awesome, man. Well, yeah, I really appreciate your time again, man. Appreciate your insights, and I wish you nothing but good luck and continued success.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks, everybody.